We praise you for the privilege that we have to come together to worship you, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Jesus, I ask that you will manifest yourself in our service today. We're here because of you. If you weren't real, if you're a figment of somebody's imagination, we're a pitiful people. But we know, Lord, even with historical evidence, that you lived, you died, and you were resurrected from the dead. And you are seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. And we're needy people, Lord. You need to pray for us. We need you. We need you. So show yourself strong here this morning. Inhabit the praises of your people in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 A couple of things. I want to thank everyone here for your faithfulness in giving. Because of that, we don't mention money here very often at all, but we do want to say thank you for your faithfulness in your giving. Our offering box is right there, and there's one by the front door in the fellowship hall. We never pass a plate here. Your giving is between you and the Lord. It's nobody's business to see whether you put anything in the plate or not. All right, but I do want to say thank you to all of you who are faithful in your giving. It makes it possible for us to do what we do for things like House of Hope, which we support on a monthly basis with our missions giving. Other thing I want to say is that baptisms we're having October 20th. There's three people that have signed up. I do need to speak with you who did sign up. If you have not been water baptized, as I spoke earlier, please see me after the service. We can put your name down on that list and take care of a very important portion of your walk with the Lord. With House of Hope being here, they have a table that's set up in the fellowship hall. And in the fellowship hall on their table is a basket for an offering. So if you would like to give to House of Hope, the church has given already to them. Today, and if you'd like to increase that, then please put something in that basket. With that, one other thing, a children's church schedule for October, November, December, January, February, March is now up. And those, I do want to welcome Paige Wall and Mikkel Barnes. They've joined in as being helpers, and we thank you for helping. We do. We need help in this ministry and other aspects. One I'll highlight right now is our video booth up there, our live stream. Everybody turn around and say, hey, Mikey, how you doing? Hey, Mikey. Right. Mike has been faithful in that. Tia has been faithful in it. But we do need help. We do need help in ones that's not particularly difficult. I can even do it, you know. And I already had some words with one fellow this morning about 70-year-old duffers can't get it with this technical stuff. You know,
takes a lot of practice.
Takes more practice, yeah. But I can do it. I can do it. And so if I can, you could. If you would like to get involved in that, please see Michael or me after the service, and we'll arrange to start training you on it. All right. House of Hope, a peculiar ministry they are. Run by a very peculiar couple that I have grown to know that they are very peculiar. They are strange people, but they are very loving people. And we welcome you again to the pulpit. They're going to give us a rundown on what the House of Hope is all about. We welcome you. No, for the sake of live stream, we do need to go ahead. Thank you, John.
Okay, I'll do this, but I might move around a little later on, so. thank you very much for this opportunity to be here and to share about House of Hope, New Hampshire, and the work that God is doing through that home and through the people who work there and through the ladies. God is faithful. He has a track record with us as great faithfulness. And I'm going to show a little video, have a few people share. And I'm also going to let you know, I'm also going to let you know the things, what we're all about, for those of you who might not know us and what we're about. So if we could show that video.
2015 to 2016, 130,000 people died in this country of an overdose. That's a city. And we ain't doing enough.
Unfortunately, this is a problem that hits all of us. Somehow, some way, it doesn't care what faith you are, what color you are, where you're from, or where you've been.
It takes your hair, your teeth, your skin, your every relationship you have. I had burnt every bridge. In 1984, I found myself struggling with drugs and alcohol, and I was having a teenage pregnancy.
I struggled with a drug addiction as well. I had a son who is now 4 that I lost custody of due to my addiction.
We lost our daughter to an overdose of heroin. She was left in a parking lot of a hospital in Springfield, Vermont. By the time anybody could get to her to save her, it was too late.
I was raised in a wonderful, God-fearing home. We went to church every Sunday. I barely graduated high school, and when I did, I was a full-blown crystal meth addict. I wanted to feel accepted, and I wanted to feel loved, and I wanted to, more than anything, feel numb. When I turned 21, I found out I was pregnant, and I got married. My ex-husband also struggles with addiction and is extremely violent. I found myself beat up and laying on the ground, and I just given up. And I finally said, God, if you're real, you are gonna free me from this relationship, and you are gonna set us free, and you are gonna make a way where there is no way. And that's exactly what God did.
And I remember that very phone call where I actually heard someone's love for me. I heard someone pray for me, and I knew that this was where I needed to be.
For the first time in my life, I felt the love of the Lord, and I walked through those front doors, and they opened their arms, and they said, welcome home.
I showed up at the door of this home with the clothes on my back. They took me in, they loved me, and they taught me the Word of God. They taught me how to live without drugs and alcohol controlling me.
During my walk through New Life Home, not only has the Lord restored my son back to me, He has restored my family back to me. The chains that have been bound around me are no longer there. They're broken. I no longer walk in that shame. I no longer walk in that discouragement. And I'm no longer deemed an addict. I'm no longer deemed a terrible mother. I'm deemed the daughter of the one true King. I now have life. I'm alive, and I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful that my son is alive.
We honestly believe that if our daughter had an opportunity to experience what you're going to allow people to experience, she'd be here today. Brandy's biggest fear was leaving her daughter, Malaya. And that's why she left the programs that she was in. The opportunity to keep a mother and a child together should not ever be a question.
I would have never, ever left without my kids.
My mother wouldn't separate from me, even if it meant not getting the help that she needed. I know that the program was really transformative for my mother. When she left the program, she had the coping skills she needed to face life without turning to drugs, without turning to alcohol.
A lot of programs today are 30-day, 60-day, 12-day programs. They don't work. We know.
Everything we're reading and studying says 18 to 24 months is the key. Because once they get better, they need to be reacclimated. And then they need to be supported as they go into their new lives.
We take these girls, get them the education that they need. Get them up on how to manage their family, their finances, and how to manage a home with a job without being controlled by drugs.
It is a Christian home, and it's built on faith. And it's faith in God and faith in love.
What we honestly hope is that there's going to be a point in our lives where we need less homes. The reality is that today they're needed more than ever.
You know, when they chose the name the House of Hope, I think that's truly what we're offering here.
That's kind of emotional for us because we know the lives, and my daughter's also on the video. So House of Hope New Hampshire is a 6 to 8 month program where women come in and they learn the love of Jesus Christ. They come in, some of them don't know the Lord, and it's a net to catch them in. They come and they learn how the basics. They learn about a relationship with Jesus Christ. They come and they heal and they find rest. And they find it's a very, very different way of living. It's sometimes a culture shock because they come in and we're going to live according to the word of the Lord with devotions. We eat meals together as a family. We have pastors over for dinner sometimes. Pastor Matt likes to come, I believe. And we just have people talking into their lives, speaking God into their lives, speaking love, healing, joy, life. Some of them are without hope. When they show up at House of Hope, New Hampshire, they're devastated. They're without hope. They've burnt bridges. God heals their families. God's bringing mothers back, reunited with their children. He does so many miracles. God is still in the miracle-working business. And we, whether you're staff or whether you're a woman in the program, He's moving and working and transforming. He's crushing. He's healing. He's giving you a song in the night, songs of deliverance. They come bound by fear. They come bound by discouragement, without hope. And we speak life into them. We bind fear. We bind discouragement. We bind anger. And Jesus Christ sets them free. And just as He's setting me free, setting you free, as we walk with Him day in and day out, and then He becomes more important than any drug. He takes the taste of drugs right out of your mouth, and you taste the goodness of the Lord, and you see that He's good. And once you've done that, you're wrecked. So I have a few stories right here. We have our newest miracle right now is Andrea. Would you like to come and share?
From Psalms 16, 1 through 2. Hello, I'm Andrea. I'm a mother of two, a grandmother of three. About 4 years ago, I was living in the darkness of everything was crashing down around me. From my husband, family, apartment, bills, job, losing my most of my belongings, and the death of the man that sexually abused me as a child. A lot of bad memories came back that I kept secret. I couldn't take it anymore, so I decided to do a large amount of fentanyl to end my life. I remember not being able to see, and I was so tired. The girl that gave me the drug left my house and with my phone and my cards. I'm not sure how long I was out for. I heard a peaceful voice of Jesus in my head to get up. Help is on his way. Andrea, get up. I found out later my mom prayed to Jesus, asking him if everything was okay with me. She got a sense that I wasn't. So she called 911 asking for a wellness check. As I got up and out in the living room, help was there. I was only given Narcan. I stayed into the hospital for a few days. I heard I had a severe fentanyl poisoning. They said I was very lucky to be alive. I wish I could say that was my last time. 4 years later to now, I was seeking help with my pastor, Steve. He told me about House of Hope of New Hampshire. House of Hope has changed my life in more ways than one. Spiritual, emotional, physical. I am not the same person I was. Now I am a new creation of Christ. My faith is running through me like never before, and I'm not missing the drugs. Soon it will be 5 months sober. I know that's not a long time, but the last 4 years I was using every day, and 8 years in total. Thank you for listening to my story. There is only two reasons that I'm here. Is the power of Jesus Christ and the House of Hope.
So we're very blessed by Andrea. Remember the phone call and getting her into the home. It's a long time. The girls don't know this, but I want to say about 4 days ago, it was last Saturday I was speaking, and we lost a girl to overdose that was due to come in. So that was tough, and that's not your story. That's not your story. So it's for these. You have the disappointments, you have the heartbreak, and we don't know why, but it's for these ones. And if you guys are graduates, could you just stand up? I think we have quite a few graduates here with us today. Thank you, ladies. We also have another miracle story. As Bill and I were running the home by ourselves for a couple years, and some of the girls were leaving, they would say, "Miss Phyllis, you're the only staff here. This isn't enough." So it was getting really rough. We got on our knees and sought the Lord, and we prayed for staff. And it came from unexpected areas, but there's one staff member here today that was unexpected, but the Lord just brought her right to us. So Mary, would you like to share? So now we have three staff, and Mary's our newest.
Hi, so my name is Mary LaMarche, and I want to start by saying thank you. Thank you to Grace Christian Fellowship Church for supporting House of Hope, New Hampshire. We do have a needs list, so if there's, don't think that a little thing doesn't matter, because it actually does. So there is a needs list out there if anyone would like a copy of it. Like I said, sometimes you feel like, oh, I can only do this, or I can only do that, but I'm going to cry. Sometimes the ladies will pray for something, and then the next day it will come in. God provides in great and unusual ways. So my scripture for House of Hope, New Hampshire is 1 Corinthians 16:14, and it says, "Let all your things be done with charity," and that means love. So sometimes House of Hope has a lot of rules. I'm new there, so it's, yeah. So I'm still learning the rules, but my goal is that everything would be done with love. So my life took a change in January of this year when my good husband Raymond went home to be with Jesus. So no more suffering, no more pain. God blessed me and took care of me in so many ways. It was really amazing. But financially, I needed to return to work. So I was praying about what to do for the right job at the right time. I had been teaching a Bible study for women at House of Hope since the beginning of House of Hope, since opening its doors. Phyllis offered me a position as live-in staff to lead residents. I wasn't planning on that, but when I was driving home that day, I was praying, and I felt like it was definitely a yes. So I prayed about it. I talked to my pastor. I talked to my family. And, I believed it was the Lord. So I did say yes to the Lord, and I said yes to Phyllis. So I've been working at House of Hope, New Hampshire for about 5 months now. The position is harder than you would expect. But we can affect women and children's lives by our lives and by our examples. We can lead by example. It's an opportunity to show love and guide others. It teaches me to pray more fervently, because I never know what the day might bring, and to rely more strongly on my God. So please consider supporting House of Hope New Hampshire. Your help can impact women and children. Thank you.
So for our updates, we had 4 graduates just last year, and the Lord is moving. This year, we had a golf tournament, and thank you, Mary, you did a great job. And we also, just continuing on with the fundraisers, we're trying to raise monthly donations. The house has doubled with residents, and there's still more calling and coming in. I had to give up my office, which is okay. I don't mind. And we just moved it over. So the Lord is bursting forth, and I believe he's going to be bursting forth more as he put our staff in place and as he's opening doors for more churches to let us come out and share what God is doing. We cannot do the work without your support. It's impossible. And so we're grateful for that. And I have one last update. Veronica, who we love very much, is a graduate, and she wanted to share a little bit, or I want her to share a little bit.
Oh, good morning. I told the ladies last night, I know I'm going to cry tomorrow. I'm Veronica. I love you too. Some of you in here have known me since I was a child. I was raised in church. I was blessed enough to do ministry with my dad. From the founding of the church in 97 until he passed in 2013. And yes, as Ms. Phil said, I am the 10th graduate of House of Hope, New Hampshire. I graduated at the end of June. My scripture I want to share with you is Luke 15, 22 to 24. But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring here the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to be merry. Whew. So I was saved. I accepted Jesus when I was 7. At the age of 14, along with my whole youth group, we all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Agape Christian Fellowship under the prayer of Pastor Matthew, wherever you are. Since then, I started getting into children's church, teaching children's church, teaching Sunday school, doing music ministry. Eventually, Grace started in 97. My family is one of the families that came and helped start the church. Went to Bible college. I did all of the Christian things. I knew the language. I knew how to get through. I knew what to say, what not to say. I blended in very well. I didn't realize until I came to House of Hope just how lax my relationship was then. When I first heard of House of Hope, it was out of desperation. I hadn't walked with God in about 8 years. I was at my end. I wanted to end my life. I was ready just, that's it. And my aunt, who is not a Christian, got in touch with Pastor Matthew. He gave her the number for House of Hope. And in my stubbornness, I was not going to reach out to Pastor Matthew. I was stubborn, and I was also ashamed, and I was prideful. But I listened to him, and I called, and I spoke with Ms. Phillips. 2 days later, I came in for my interview. I did not want to be there. I cannot say that. My flesh did not want to be there, but my spirit knew that's where I needed to be.
Amen. That's right.
She gave me 24 hours to think about it. I didn't even need the 24 hours. I started praying, and I says, God, if that's really what you want, I will do this, and I will stick out the entire program. I don't care how hard it is. And it was, there were times I said, God, I want to go home. And he said to me, this is your home right now.
Amen.
Okay. The last year has probably been one of the hardest for me, physically. As you can see, I've got my crutches. A couple years ago, I did have a partial foot amputation. Because of that, I couldn't go back to work. I lost my apartment. I had to move back home. I had moved halfway across the country. My only option was to move back home. Things fell even more apart, and that's when I got in the House of Hope. January, I ended up on crutches again. And every time I started feeling down, Miss Phyllis would look at me and say, we are not doing this. You are choosing joy. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
I recently lost the rest of my foot. But you know, it was the first time in my life facing a surgery that I was not afraid.
Thank you, Lord.
I was not fearful. I was nervous what the future might hold, but I was not afraid going into surgery.
Amen.
And I had to get to a point where I said, okay, God, this is my foot. That everybody kept saying, it's just your foot, it's just your foot. It's my foot.
Yeah, amen, that's right.
And one night I was laying in bed and I was praying and I says, God, your word says you bought me with a price. I am no longer my own. This is not my foot. This is your foot.
Amen.
You do with it what you will, and I will still praise you
amen.
Through it all.
Glory to God.
I've had a few down days. Miss Phyllis was right there. Miss Gail was there. Miss Mary. And the ladies. My girls. I love my sisters. I love my sisters so much. To see how far I've come in the last year is overwhelming. Not because of anything I have done.
That's right. Come on.
It's all because of what God's done.
Amen.
There were generational curses that have been broken.
Yes.
I have been set free of things I allowed into my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was not living a very godly life. God was always back here. He'd keep saying, Veronica, come back. And I'm like, no, I'm having too much fun. But that fun doesn't last. You know, that fun fades. God's joy is forever.
Amen.
You know, so some of you know, I was the church secretary here back in 2009 to 2015. One thing I started praying in October last year at the house was, God, if there's any way, I would love to work at the church again. I'd love to be the secretary again. That January, Pastor Matt says to me, Veronica, I'd like you to pray and consider coming back as a secretary. I started to cry. So in April, I came back as the executive secretary here at Grace Christian Fellowship. So if there's a mistake in the bulletin, it is my fault. Except for the 3 or 4 weeks I was gone, because Cassie covered for me. Thank you so much. I do want to thank you so much for helping me with that. More recently, I have become Miss Phyllis's administrative assistant at House of Hope, New Hampshire. The word blessed to me is not strong enough to say how blessed I really feel. Everything that God has brought into my life the last few months, especially working here at the church with Pastor Matt, now working with Miss Phyllis in the office, it's gifts and talents that I have, and I would never have known that if Pastor never gave me the chance years ago. You know, but it's like I love doing it. I'm like overwhelmed by God's goodness and His grace. You know. And being a prodigal, You know, this comes to it. When the son came home, he wasn't just welcomed home. He was brought back into complete and full sonship. The ring signified the seal of the family. The father didn't say, you can go be like the servants now. He brought him in. He grabbed him, kissed him. We're going to celebrate.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm proof. I am a living prodigal. I almost died. I almost ended it. But because Miss Phyllis and Mr. Bill answered the call to open House of Hope, New Hampshire, God used them to change my life and to bring me here again. So thank you.
I love you too. I love all you guys. I love you too.
She's part of our family now too, so I just want to say, if you know of anybody who needs help, please give them our number. Jesus is, like I said, he's in the miracle working business. There's miracles, an atmosphere of miracles at House of Hope all the time. We are expecting to burst forth with his glory. We want to glorify him. We are becoming a really good testimony in our community, and that's amazing. So we want the light of Jesus to shine as far as it can, and a light can shine pretty far. So if you need help, if you're here today and you're feeling discouraged and you need to be set free, we would love that opportunity to talk to you. But also, please give our name and number out. They're dropping. They said it was getting better. It's a lie. It's not getting better. The streets are full of homeless. Wherever we go, there's women, there's men. I do put our men, I send them to Teen Challenge in Manchester if a man needs help. So if it's a resource you need for a man caught in the throes of addiction, we will help with that as well, as much as we can. But our calling is for women and their children. So please spread the word. Get it out there that House of Hope New Hampshire is here, and we're here to help. Thank you, and I bless God for you letting us be here.
Wow. In all truth, I do have to say, Veronica, that when your aunt called me and I said, you know, House of Hope, and she said, I don't think she's going to do it. I said, then you relay this message to her, and I believe she did. You tell Veronica, if she doesn't go to House of Hope, we're not giving any other help. That's our help. If you say no, then you're on your own. That was hard for me to say, because I've known Veronica since she was a little girl. I'm kind of like her dad now, that her dad's, who was my best friend, had passed away. Art and I got along so well. He was our worship leader for when we first started this church. Art never asked me what I was going to preach on, and yet, time and time again, the songs that he chose went right along with the message. You know, we just flowed so well together. And it was hard for me to say, I will not help you if you will not go to House of Hope. And then pray. Pray, God, get through to her. Somehow, some way. And you know something? God has a unique way of answering prayer. You know that? And that's an answer to prayer. In fact, that you're back here as our secretary. She needs a ride. She's living at House of Hope right now, even though she's a graduate. They don't graduate you, then kick you out. Okay? Hey, you're graduated. See you later. No, they stay with you until you're fully established. And that is so vital of a ministry. So, Veronica's still there, living there, but now she's administrative assistant. But she wants to come to church here, but she needs a ride from House of Hope to here on Sunday mornings and then back. So if you would like to provide that, please see me
and or see Veronica, and so that we can make those arrangements. All right. In Galatians chapter 1, it's obvious. I'm not going to. It was needed to give you that. No, don't worry about it, Phyllis. I told her, she asked me, how much I get? You get 3 minutes. No. And she took 33 minutes. That's okay. I'm just picking on you. See, I'm right now, I get the opportunity to pick on you. Right? Yeah, now it's my turn. No, I wanted you to have all the time you needed, because we all need to understand the value of a ministry like House of Hope, which is similar to the value of Teen Challenge in helping men. We need more. We need more of these. But ones that are established, like House of Hope, Phyllis said it, we cannot do it without your support. Grace Christian Fellowship gives them a check of $200 a month, every month. I think we pay bi-monthly or whatever, but it comes out to $200 a month, every month. Kathy and I give on a monthly basis to House of Hope. And I want to encourage you. You may say, well, I really don't have any. If you could give $5 a month, you know, if 20 people would give $5 a month, that's $100 a month. That makes a big difference. You know, so don't say you can't. Say, I can, but this is all I can. But if we will give just what we can give, if we will give just what God puts on our hearts to give, then everything's going to get paid for. You know, I had the privilege of walking with Bill and Phyllis in this House of Hope adventure Kathy and I did when it was still up here. You know, and I know that both Bill and Phyllis were scared stiff of what God had planted in their head and in their heart to do. And we had conversations. I don't see how we can do this. I said, you can't. So just give it up, you know. Just give it up and give it over to the Lord. If it is of the Lord, it will come to pass. If it is not of the Lord, he'll kill it. So don't worry about it. Worry's like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but you don't go anywhere. All it does is give you an ulcer. All right? And we had the privilege of walking with them through the vision, to the death of the vision, to the birth of the vision, to the fruition of the vision. You know? And it's just been a real, real joy. I'm just going to share one thing with you this morning, and then we're going to have a party. Right? We're going to have a share-all meal. I hope you all brought some food. And we're going to celebrate Veronica graduating from House of Hope. But if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, and I'm just going to highlight two verses. All right, I'm not going to give you the whole thing. We'll save it for next week. But in Galatians chapter 1, at verse 11, Paul said to the Galatian church, he said, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would just make this clear. Make it clear to each and every one of us, Lord. The gospel of Jesus Christ is profound. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here this morning, or if you're watching online, and if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, then I ask you, please listen. Please listen. Paul said here, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you want to know the gospel, and you look at it at face value, you would have to go, this is absolutely crazy. This is impossible. Sci-fi writers can't come up with something as wild as this. Yeah. Really, you think about it. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, Paul said this to the Roman church, the church in Rome. He says, for when I when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, that's crazy. Who would think that who would die for somebody else? Now, I'm talking real die, not just think about it or talk about it or say it, but actually do it. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is nuts. This is crazy. You mean that this guy, Jesus, was actually God who came to us in the form of a baby? And he was conceived through this woman, Mary, and not even through a physical relationship with her husband, which she didn't even have a husband, no physical relationship with anybody. He was just conceived. You know, and think about how crazy this is. He was just conceived. And she bore this baby. And his baby grew. And he became, and even at just a very young age, as a little boy, he was in the temple, and he was confounding the Pharisees. This is crazy. And then he lived, and he started ministering to some really people that were just low life, like hookers, and drunkards, and thieves. He even was crucified with two thieves. I mean, this is ludicrous. This is crazy. If you're here today and you're not saved, you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord, listen to this. Because only God would do something like this. Nobody else. I mean, anybody ever see sci-fi movies? Yeah. You know. Oh, you admitted to it? Gotcha! Gotcha! They're crazy. They really are wild. They're far-fetched, but nothing is as far-fetched as the message of the gospel. That's why we got to understand this really is true. God himself did this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, while you were still low life, while you were still useless, while you were nothing but a piece of trash, you weren't worth nothing. You were at the place where perhaps even your mother thought you were disgusting. I made my mom cry. And not happy tears either. There were times where she didn't even hear from me for a year and a half, because I was in prison and she didn't know it and I didn't dare tell her. I didn't want to hurt her. Quite frankly, I don't think I really even cared that she knew. So I was so involved with me. Just a piece of junk. A throwaway. They talk about how electronics and things like cell phones, you pay $1,000 for something like this, and when it breaks, what do? You throw it away. Go get another one. Because they're not fixable. Listen to me. You're fixable. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care what you are thinking about. I don't care what you've done behind the scenes and nobody ever sees, but you know. I don't care what they are. Jesus Christ sees them, and he knows it, and he still loves you.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that. Listen, sci-fi people cannot come up with something as crazy as this. This is how much Jesus Christ loves you. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How can you be saved by the life of a man that was willing to be put on the cross and die? He never even saw you. He never seen you before. But when he hung on that cross, the blood that dripped from that cross onto the ground is just as powerful for you today as it was for the people who were standing there watching him die. He loves you with an everlasting love. When he's hanging on there, I can't say, oh, he was looking at you down through the ages, 2,000-something years later. I don't know. But I do know that he died for all. Why do I know? Because the scripture says so. It's a wild, crazy story this book is. You know, when I start looking at it as being wild and crazy, it becomes more interesting. You know? I love interesting stuff. I love wild stories. I love crazy things. And that's why I'm infatuated by the scriptures, because I'll tell you, if God's not in it, this is nothing but a whole pack of lies. But God is in it. Therefore, that makes this all truth. Hallelujah, which means you need to read it in a sci-fi way. I know, this is a really weird sermon, okay? But it's coming from a really weird pastor. I have a shirt that when Kathy and I came back from our sabbatical this year, I saw the shirt, and I actually had Lauren order it, so I had it the day that we showed up here. We didn't tell anybody we were coming. It says, I'm a pastor of a really awesome congregation. You got to be an awesome congregation to put up with me. You know, yeah, I think of things, wild things, but you know, this is a wild story.
Yes, it is.
It really is. It's crazy. Which gives you an understanding, or should give you somewhat of an understanding, of how crazy God is.
Yes.
He's crazy for you.
Thank you.
Veronica, he never let up on you. He never took his eyes off of you. When those 8 years that you were being that prodigal woman out there and enjoying all that the world had to offer that was killing you, God cut his eye on you. And he never took his eye off of you. And the calling he's placed upon you was never rescinded by God. His gifts and callings are without repentance. God's not sorry he gave it to you.
Right.
He may be sorry that you're not fulfilling it, but he never sorry that he gave it to you. This is a crazy story. It's absolutely wild. I love it. Absolutely love it. Why? Because I serve a God that is so much bigger and so much more wild than I could ever, ever understand. So I get the privilege, when I read this story, to allow my imagination to run with it. You know? To see God sitting on his throne and his son, that Jesus Christ, who was on the cross, sitting at his right hand. The scripture says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Ever making intercession for you. The marks, the holes are still there in his side, in his feet, in his arms, where the sword went in by the Roman soldier. It's still there. To show people, this is how much I love you. This is what I did for you. Please, don't put me off to the side of your life. I did not put you off to the side of my life. When I died on that cross for you. I died on that cross for you. I died on that cross for you. I died on the cross for you. I died on that cross for you. And I can point, go through every single one of us here and say the same thing. And it's just as true for you as it is for you. This is a wild story. I love it. I hope and pray that you will fall in love with a God that loves you so much that he's willing to come to you in the form of a little baby in a woman that had never had a physical relationship with a man, yet she became pregnant and she was willing to. She said, let it be done unto me according to your word, she said, and it was done. And he grew. You know, another wild thing about this story about Jesus, his mom and dad lost him.
I know, when he was 12 in the temple.
Here, 12 years old, and they were at Jerusalem for the feast, and then they left to go back home, and they're like 3 days, 3 days gone. Can you imagine his parents being 3 days traveling and not know where your kid is? My mom, we had an old 57 Chevy Pontiac station wagon. We had no seats in the back. We just threw all the kids in the back. Mom threw all those kids in the back. And we would have wrestling matches and all, and sometimes we'd fall asleep. We're all laid on each other. And she would always look back there and make sure we were there. They lost him. Can you imagine Joseph, the adoptive father, looking at Mary? Saying, how the heck are we going to explain this to God? We lost him. This doesn't even say that they stopped and prayed, "Dear Father, please help us find your son." They didn't dare do it. They just went back to Jerusalem. They hunted for him, and they found him. And where did they find him? They found him in the temple. And what did Jesus say to them? "Wouldn't you know I would just be about my father's business?"
Amen. Yeah.
I can imagine how Joseph felt. I lost God's son. What's he going to do to me? It's a wild story. But it comes down to this. You either believe it or you don't. And if you believe it, what are you going to do with it? Because the Apostle John said, if you receive him, you receive eternal life. If you reject him, you reject that life. If you go to hell, you cannot blame God for that. Because he paid the price on that cross for you. God came to us in the form of his son. God, who was on that cross. God's the one that died. He took a physical body so that he could be dead. Because God, in the spiritual sense, can't be dead.
Right.
That's why he became a man.
Right.
So that he could die. Because as God, he can't die. You ever think about that? As God, he couldn't. So he had to become one of us so he could.
Amen.
And pay the price for your sin and for mine. That's wild stuff.
Yes, it is.
But it's true. Yes. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe today would be the day the Scripture says your names would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, but you would want to receive him this morning, I'm going to ask you if you would raise your hand. If you just raise your hand and say, "Yeah, I do. I want to. I need to. I never have, but I need to." Hallelujah. Praise God. Then pray with me, all of you. Lord Jesus, I open my heart. And I ask you now to come into my heart. I receive you now as my Lord, as my Savior. Receive me as your child. I confess my sins and I repent of my sins and I turn to you fully, completely. You are now my Lord. I am your child and I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God. If you prayed that for the first time this morning, please see me after the service. I want to give you a Bible if you don't have one. We got some nice Bibles. We love giving away Bibles. Yesterday at the Pickle Festival, we gave away, 20, 25 Bibles we gave to people. Hallelujah. Well, I want to say thank you to those who helped in meeting here and going down and setting up and spending the day with us. And we got to witness to a lot of people. Strange things happen. God's strange, I'll tell you. And strange things happen at Pickle Festival. You know, I saw these six young men that were out there, and I went out to talk with them, start sharing the gospel with them. And so I'm sharing the gospel with them, and it wasn't but just a couple of minutes. I'm beginning to realize they know the gospel. It turns out that they were six students from the school that's at Mount Hermon in Northfield.
Yeah, Thomas Aquinas.
The what?
Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, that school. Thomas, what's his name? And what was really funny is that six guys, young guys, and it was like they had this old codger corner, you know. And so they started peppering me with all these theological questions. I had a blast. I really did. I had a lot of fun. I ended up cornering them on a couple of issues, you know. But one of the things that they tried to corner me on is, you know, can you lose your salvation, you know? And I just told them, that's above my pay grade. They looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "It's above my pay grade." I said, "Listen, I understand this. I understand what you're saying. And personally, I think that you can. I think it's difficult. It's a lot harder than some people think. You have to really just flat out walk away. And God will say, fine. But I know that there are scriptures that says that God will, if you mess with his word, he'll remove you from the Lamb's Book of Life. It says it right in the last few verses of Revelation. But I did tell him, I says, you know, if you will do what I do, I love the Lord, I'm going to serve him, I'm not going to stop, I'm going to continue to read his word, I'm going to continue to pray, I'm going to walk, stumble, and fall. Walk, stumble, and fall. That's my life. Even as a pastor, I walk, stumble, and fall. Why? Because I sin and I fall short of God's glory. I ain't perfect in any way, shape, or form. I can even butcher the English language when I preach. Kathy tells me I can. She said, it's sometimes really a struggle to live with an English teacher. You know? But if you would do that, if you just, you know, walk, stumble, and fall, but always turn to the Lord, you will never have to worry about whether you lose your salvation. You won't have to worry about it. Why? Because God loves people who want to walk, stumble, and fall with him. And when I fall, he picks me up. He dusts me off. He holds me while I cry. Then he sets me back on my feet. He backs up and he goes, okay, Matthew, let's do it again. Come to Daddy. Come to Abba, Father. I don't ever want to think of myself as being much more than that. My Daddy. My Abba, Father. He's the one I get to serve. He's the one you get to serve. And if you pray and receive him as Lord and Savior, then you can have a journey of a lifetime. Father, I thank you for your word. We bless you, Lord. Church, let's stand. And in the tradition of this pulpit, I bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May he give you peace in this way, that you will be willing to walk, stumble, and fall before the Lord God Almighty, and know that he still sees you and says, you bless me. You bless me. Church, don't ever think you don't bless God if you are hungering for him. Don't ever think you don't bless God if you thirst for him. He doesn't look for a perfect person. He looks for one who wants to be close to the perfect God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God.